12 signs of the zodiac are in the ancient star maps are common to all cultures, and how in the world that they got those figures from those stars, I still can't believe it, but yet they had to have a common origin. That's the only, and now they're all screwed up. I mean, everybody's, the Chinese have got their own, and their Mexicans have got their own, and the Indians have got their own, and the Egyptians, and everybody. But going back, this is back at the time of Christ and before, that this was the star map that was universal. We had to know where to start. So that's why the only thing that exists that predated the flood, or two things that exist that predate the flood, are the Sphinx and the Great Pyramid. And the Sphinx, in modern terms, says it has the body of a lion and the head of a pharaoh, and that's not right. It has the body of a lion but the head of a woman. And it shows where to start this circle. You start at Virgo, the Virgin, and you end at Leo, the lion. And we talked about the Star of Bethlehem being in the head of the child that's sitting on the lap of a Virgo in that sign. The first sign is it's the woman bearing a branch in her right hand and a sheaf of wheat in her left. And it's the first decan is Koma, it's the infant with the mother, the desired one of all nations. The second is Centaurus. These are the three sub-signs of the Centaurus, one with two natures, holding a spear in peace and producing a victim. And Botes, it's the great shepherd and harvester. Then comes Libra, the scales, the price deficient, balanced by the price it covers. And that is the Southern Cross. It's the only constellation that looks like what it is. Next is the victim, slain and pierced to death. And the third is the crown, bestowed on the true king, but the serpent is always trying to take the crown. And the serpent in you is always trying to take the crown from Christ. Unless you believe in talking snakes, the serpent is a metaphor for all men's mind. And your mind is continually trying to have what?
Not unless you're talking to snakes. You like talking to snakes. I thought it was funny. Go ahead.
All right. The next is Scorpio. The scorpion seeking to wound the heel, but itself trodden underfoot. Then the serpent struggling with the man. And the man Orphiacus wrestling with the serpent, he stung in the heel by crushing the scorpion. And Hercules, the mighty man, wounded in the heel, kneeling, humbled in conflict. But the labors of Hercules were originally the labors of Christ. And the next is Sagittarius, the archer, two natured, going forth and conquering and to conquer. The first decan is the heart. The eagle holding the harp. It's the triumphant praise for the conqueror. Then the altar with the consuming fire pointed down. And Draco the dragon, that old serpent, winding about the North Pole, being cast down from heaven. The fifth is Capricornus, the goat of atonement, slain for the redeemed, with the body of a fish, symbolizing God's people. So the sacrifice dies and gives life to the fish. And the arrow is Sagitta, the arrow of God. It's an arrow that's flying through the universe with no bow. And it's the arrow of God that wounded and killed his own son. And dolphin, the delphinus. He's always in all cultures. The symbol of resurrection. And now we're in Aquarius, the water bearer, living waters of blessing poured forth for the redeemed. And then the three decans in that are Picus Australis, which is the blessings bestowed, the winged horse, Pegasus, and the swan. So we're now studying up to the constellations that we've studied thus far have all been connected with the sacrifice. And now with Aquarius, it's the blessing. The atonement has been made, the sacrifice has been perfected, the blessing procured, and now God is sharing that blessing with those that have ears to hear, with his people. The water flows down to the fish, and notice it's an increasing intensity in the width of the. Anyway, the stars in it are all symbolic, and the names of those stars we studied. You can hear the tape later. But the age of
the stars within the water are symbolic.
No, the stars within the hole of the sign that we already gave you. Now we talked a little bit about what the Aquarius means to the feasts of Israel, and it's the sign that's intimately related to the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. During the 7 days of the feast, the water was poured into the altar. And on the 8th day of the feast, which is the great day, the purpose, the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, then water was poured into one end, but wine was poured into the other. And it's the first miracle of Christ, that he changed the water into wine, symbolic of him changing or transforming a portion of the human race into the bride of Christ. And the wine is always symbolic of the bride, and the still water is always symbolic of the human race in the Bible. And we talked a little bit, well, it's also connected to in these the people that believe in the rapture, it's connected with the Aquarius is connected with the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And we started to talk about last week about some of the other belief systems that other cultures have about the age of Aquarius. This was obviously popularized in the movie Hair. I mean, in the play Hair. I guess it was a movie too. The dawning of the age of Aquarius. Well, the age of Aquarius has been dawning for some time. We can't tell where it starts exactly. Remember, all the major events from Abraham to Christ to now happened in at the start of these different signs. Abraham, he went from when it was the sign of Aries, Taurus to Aries. And he was born at the dawning of the age of Aries. And that's why all the ancient temples had the bull as the key in the sacrifice of the bull in the Jewish. Then the age. Christ was born at the end of the age of Aries and the beginning of the age of Pisces. And now, it's now the next thing. We're now in the midst of the dawning of the age of Aquarius, which is kind of wild. If I'm right, and I think I am, and I think I can prove it to anybody, that these star maps were We're originally given the mystery of God in the stars. Then there's something big that's about to happen. And it's felt in all of the world. I mean, there's it's this strange. Let me just read some of the theories of the age of Aquarius. These are from not one source, these are from all these different sources. It's the time of a new beginning for the human race. Some believe it's the end times, the judgment day. Some say a Messiah will appear. Others say that there will have Christ consciousness will be universal, and there will be a divine awakening. Sickness will disappear. And there's a whole range of UFO crap, so I'm not going to go into that. So forgive me if I'm offending you. No, never mind. They believe that all the people will have a sixth sense, telepathy, etc., will be commonplace. The world's minds will unite. And some huge synchronous event will unite all of humanity. Many of them believe the dead will be reborn and there will be paradise on earth. And in the human consciousness, balance and symmetry and synchronicity will be commonplace. Compassion will be universal. Honor and respect will take place of strife and bitterness. All of the world's religions and philosophies will unite. Tolerance will be everywhere. Health and prosperity will be universal. All prejudice disappears. Man will begin to have greater and greater... Well, no, that's not the way it said. It said the babies born after the age of Aquarius begins will have a greater and greater mental capacity. There will be an environmental consciousness, and any political systems as we now know them will be despised. So this is like they call it the New Age. Well, the New Age is the age of Aquarius. That's where the New Age idea came from. So what does it really mean? That's the question. That's what we have to discern with this. Age of Aquarius meant to the ancient people. We don't care what it means to the guys now. And I believe what it meant is it's the end. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the seventh angel will sound and will stand upon the earth and say, the mystery of God or the mystery of the bride has been completed. Time shall be no longer. Now, I don't know when that's going to happen, but I believe that's what the age of Aquarius teaches because of its intimate connection with the Feast of Tabernacles. So, that's just a broad general overview, okay? You're looking weird.
I always look weird when I've got a fire hose stuck down my mouth, you know, and it's open. It's a lot of stuff. Is there when we talk about the dawning of the age of Aquarius, is that at a certain point on the calendar?
No. It's why, if you look at this, find Aquarius. If you hold it with the legend down to your left, mm-hmm. and Aquarius is just a couple places up to your left, and you'll see...
Right.
After Capricornus, then you see Aquarius. Well, then you see the water is both going into a mouth of the fish, Pisces Australis, at the bottom there. But it's the age of Pisces starts. I mean, the age of Aquarius starts where Pisces ends. But where does the age of you see the fish? It's mm-hmm. That's right on the ecliptic, that's the age of Pisces.
The one with the little thing around its tail?
Yeah, it's still bound.
Right.
And that's important. We'll get to that in a minute.
He might need to know if he hadn't heard what, how you determine which age we're in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There, in each of these times, when Christ was born, when at the time of Abraham, the age that you're in, first of all, we got to, the universal day from the standpoint of our planet is not 24 hours, it's 25,000 plus years, 25,800 years. And it's defined by the time it takes for the cycle. We're, right now, the North Pole, the axis of the Earth is pointed at the North Pole. But that's because of the wobble of the Earth, that goes around in a circle. And so that age of time, from it'll be 25,800 years before the North Star is the North Star again. So that's because this goes around in a circle. Now, if you want to look at the universal day in terms of our solar system, the whole system is slowly going around a center point. That's 220 million years. So that's 220 million years is one of those days. So, I mean, which when you say day, you got to know what you're talking about. And so that universal day, zodiacal day, or year, if you will, is divided into 12, the 12 signs. And so this, the age that you're in is defined by the first constellation that is seen on the morning of the spring equinox, I mean, the evening of the spring equinox. So for 2,000 years, the time before Abraham, the first constellation that was seen was Taurus. And then it was Aries, and so it goes along that way. All right?
And so now it's Pisces.
It's been Pisces since Christ was born in the dawning of the age of Pisces. And it's so... anyway. So everybody got that straight in your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go to Revelation 20, and I'll show you where the people that believe in the... in the rapture, what their belief is about this age, what happens in the age of Aquarius. Everybody there? And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having that key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loose for a little season. Now that's where they get where Hitler got the Third Reich.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the people that believe that Jesus is going to physically return to Earth and set up his kingdom on Earth, that's where this comes from. But in my opinion, that 1,000 years there, it's the, in the ancient times, the numbers were a little suspect in terms of when they got to big numbers, like millions of millions or whatever. And yet people try to literalize those numbers, but we have to go back at what they meant back then. And it was 1,000 years was, it's not the time to go into it. I'm going to stay above stars. We'll go into the 1,000 years another time, okay? Anyway, that's where the people that believe in the rapture and the new, you know, the left behind and all that stuff get it, the 1,000 years. All right, where are we? Let's go to Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel, it's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47. Oh, looky here, Mike's got a Bible with tabs in it.
I'm still having trouble. He wasn't looking at it.
You said 47, right?
Right. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house or of the temple. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. And for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under and from the right side of the house, the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without into the outer gate, by the way that looketh eastward. And you can figure this out if you really think about it. But anyway. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to his ankles. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, or to the loins. And afterward he measured 1,000, it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim, and a river that could not be passed over. And he said, unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And now when I had returned at the bank of the river, were many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whitherfore the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because the waters shall come there. And they shall, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whether the river cometh. Now that's another metaphor for this Aquarius. Now it couldn't be, if it's the temple in Jerusalem, then the waters that were up to his ankles in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is what? 6,000 feet high? We'd have had another flood. And then we can't maybe. So this is a parable. And it's a parable for what happens with the waters of Aquarius, the rivers of living waters that flow out of your belly if you believe on him, shall give life to the nations. But once you're on one side or the other, you can't get to the other. That's that great gulf of Abraham. Amen? So anyway, we could talk about...
What is the great gulf?
Huh? Remember in the when Abraham took Lazarus into his bosom? And he begged him to go back to someone raised from the dead. He said, well, there's a great gulf between us and no man can cross over. This is the great gulf between soul and spirit, between time and space and eternity. You can't get there from there. Only he which came from eternity can return to eternity.
So is that the position of the intercessor?
Yeah. No, not necessarily. There's only really one intercessor.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
He is our intercessor.
But anyway, don't mix your metaphors too much. You got to think, you got to understand, we think linearly, especially architects. No, I'm just kidding. But the whole way we learn everything is linear. And that's not the way the Bible is. The Bible is a series of an incredible number of parables, types, tropes. So if you try to keep one parable to match another parable, you'll always get in trouble. You understand what that means?
Sure.
All right, never mind. All right. So let's go to Isaiah 32. No, let's not. Let's go to Revelation 2, 22.
Revelation what?
Revelation 22. Verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy, of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. Let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know, it struck me again as we're going here that the Bible cannot be really understood until you have failed. Because and failed, it doesn't matter what you failed at. You can be like me and fail at everything, but you have to have failed in order to have ears to hear. And who would have thunk it? Before my conversion, people would come up to me and say, are you saved? I said, saved from what?
What do you tell them now?
Don't they still come up? No, they they're convinced that I'm the Antichrist. A whole bunch of them.
They don't have to ask.
That's the people who live on the block.
That's just the people in this room.
I had probably 2 weeks I had to really pray about verse 11. And so I really saw what you told me for years about there's no goodness in you. And I heard it intellectually for years until I really got it. And I think part of the darkness that I've been frustrated too by not being able to do anything and saw just such a beautiful picture of that because I couldn't. And every time I do everything right, then I'm useless.
Yeah.
Or, gosh, to see, when you depend on your own understanding, to see the destruction that brings and you're thinking you're doing good. And if you can step back and... But this verse is the same picture as not sitting on the throne and judging and determining how things should be. And it's just, it was hard for me to let that steep because I just keep wanting to throw it off.
Yeah.
Or maybe even keep it intellectual, but that's a really powerful verse.
That is.
Excuse me for talking about this, but the only way I can, if I had to, everything we've talked about here, and describe my conversion experience, it was this, everything that any heart could desire, because first of all, there was no more conscious. I had no consciousness of myself until I had no consciousness of myself until I later remembered it. I didn't see any white light coming, bright white light, because the light was everywhere, and it was as it had no source. The overwhelming feeling was, there was absolutely no separation in anything, it was love everywhere. I mean, and it's not images that I can even describe. It's a sense of completion and perfection. And, we've been perfected by one offering. That's unbelievable. But we can't look at, it's just like this, the zodiacal, the procession of the ecliptic here in the zodiac. It's going the opposite direction. It's just like, it's going the opposite direction of what it seems like it should. And it's the same as we've talked about, I don't know if we're talking about it in here, but on the Feast of Pentecost, the new Jerusalem came down from heaven. And it never went back up again. It's our overriding reality. And that perfection of His holiness is it's everywhere. It's in everything if you can only have eyes to see. And that same experience that I had externally, which appeared to seem to be external, was really just a sense of what's around us. If we just get rid of this idiot self. But we can't get rid of a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. We want to just get rid of, that's like these idiot testimonies. Oh, I used to be a drug addict, and praise God, now I'm good. Well, no, you're not. But it's this age of Aquarius, the best way to describe it, it's a fulfillment of every possible heart's desire. I mean, in terms of its spiritual meaning, in terms of it vis-a-vis the Bible. And a complete loss of awareness of self. And that's mind-bending. It's the awareness of self that's our prison. Amen.
Yeah.
Let's go to Isaiah 32. No, let's go to Isaiah 55 first. By the way, I need to embarrass Mike. What version of the Bible do you have?
I have
an
ARV. You hate that, right?
Well, it's not that I hate it. It's not accurate.
Do they know how to spell ankle? That's what I want to know. A-N-C-L-E is what we just read.
Yeah.
All right, Isaiah 55. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not real food, is what it says, and you labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now, there's one other interesting thing before we, I'll talk about that in a second. I just thought of it. When Christ sent his disciples out, two of them, and told them that they're just going to meet this guy that would prepare the Passover, that would have a Passover already prepared for them. He was to find, it's interesting, it just hit me that it says this, that they are to look for a man that's carrying a jug of water. And that's like, it's only the water that can prepare us for Passover. Anyway. But here, in Genesis, it says that the snake was cursed. And it said that upon thy belly shall thou go, and thou shalt eat dust all the days of thy life. Another way of saying that is according, well, let's go there. Let's Genesis 3.
I don't need tags for that.
Someday when we have time, I'm going to show you why that Bible is not trustworthy.
I have no doubt that you will.
What?
I said, I'm sure that's the first he's ever heard that. Bible's not trustworthy.
Have you ever read some of these translations, so-called translations?
No.
They're idiotic.
I'm glad I didn't come in with the Living Bible.
Really, you wouldn't have made it in the door.
Or the Good News Bible.
That's what we had in our house in the 70s. I remember.
Oh, yeah. Every household had a Living Bible. They were just
right.
Mine didn't.
I was ushering at Northwest Bible Church one Sunday, and everybody's walking around with their Ryrie Study Bible, and a little girl came in there and looked for us and said, is it okay to come in here without a Bible?
And the Lord said unto the serpent, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, in dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Have you ever seen a snake eat dirt? Have you ever heard of a talking snake? Snake is always your mind, and it's only capable of getting sustenance and satisfaction from dust. By our appetites we will be led. Upon our belly we shall go, by our appetites we shall be led, and dust shall we eat all the days of our life. That's all you've ever eaten. Success, accomplishment, diamonds, some of you might expensive dust, claim, whatever it is, it's all dust. It's meaningless crap. Has no water, just dust. That's why, unless you eat the flesh of the Son, there shall be no life in you. And you eat the flesh by gaining sustenance and satisfaction only from Him, not from a bunch of dust, accomplishments, dust, diamonds, dust, education, dust, whatever it is. It's just dust, and it doesn't satisfy. Amen. And that's why it says in the New Testament, it says, many walk of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross, whose God is their appetites, whose glory is in their shame, for they give breath or mind earthly things. We don't want to do that. All of you in this room are old enough to know that all the stuff you've ever done is just a bunch of crap. All the accomplishments you've ever had are meaningless. And that's what they're supposed to be. You might try to act like they're important, but inside you know they're not. Christianity isn't for those who want to improve their life. Christianity is for those who have no life.
What are your children and all that?
Where are they?
Well, when I hear you say all that you've done is crap, I can nod my head to that. When I get there and I think of what I have done with my children, I don't think I have trouble throwing that into that bin. Where does that go?
Well, it goes because they have the potential to be in the mystery. So it's not crap, but everything else doesn't have any potential. But, I mean, I hate to tell you this, but go to Luke 14 a minute. See if I'm right. Maybe it's not right. Yeah, well, I was right. Go to verse 25. We're going to have to get, for Mike's Bible, they can't just have tabs. They're going to have little thingies that come out. When I say Luke, it goes, the tab goes out. Luke.
I'll need that too.
I noticed, but I was
so
being nice to you for a change.
Well,
Luke 14.
I'm glad I got some relief.
Yeah, I'm so glad I showed up for your,
to give Sharon a whole hand.
Yeah. I'm glad
take
I
some hits.
Can serve as the target tonight.
Okay, we're at Luke 14.
25.
Oh, 25.
And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's kind of heavy. And what you hate is the labels. Son, or daughter, or wife, or children, or husband, or wife, or brother, or sister. Because every one of those has the label that carries with it the idolatry that you have in your head. And that idolatry is what has to be destroyed. so that you can see them as brothers and sisters in this mystery. Or if they're not in it, you pray for them. But you don't carry any more weight. You're not cumbered with the weight of those labels. Do I understand? Does that make sense? To answer your question, where do they fit in?
In a way I haven't even thought about it.
Well, hear me. Let's just, we're going to, I'm starting to hurt. So, we have to, my teaching time is dependent on my not having muscle spasm times. For some reason, I have an incredibly great expectancy, and I don't know what it's for, and I don't know what it's about. Whatever it is, I know it won't be boring, and I hope that you can sense that same expectancy without putting anything, any deal on what that expectancy is about. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like you're going to get a job or you're going to, whatever your little wants are. It's not about that. It's about something far deeper. And that's what I'd like us to leave with regard to this study of Aquarius. We're going to start the other subsets of Aquarius. So the next one is, we study is Pisces, Australis, and then the swan, then Pegasus, and then the swan. But they're all interesting, but they all give further meaning to the sign of Aquarius. Okay? Any thoughts, or? Mary, you usually have 1,000 questions. Means everybody understands perfectly.
Yeah. Got a lot to think about.
It's like Mike said, you got a fire hose pouring down us.
Right.
So what, any thoughts, Mike?
It's my first time, so it is a lot to take in. But it makes me think a lot about crap we do preoccupy ourselves with. In my specific example, I'm preoccupied with all kinds of...
I know, that's your job.
Self-drama.
Crap. Your job is preoccupied with crap.
Well, apparently so.
That's good.
How old are your children?
My son just turned 16 on Sunday, and my daughter is 12.
Right. Let's go to Psalm 19, just to close the meeting. Psalms should be very easy to find. It's right in the middle of the Bible.
All right. What did you say, 19?
19. Your homework is that everybody has to have this psalm memorized by next Wednesday.
You're going to be sorely disappointed.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament of the sky showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line or their influence has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat or influence thereof. Amen?
Amen.
No, just for kicks, for you, for your sake. Go to Matthew 6 and read the Lord's Prayer.
You want to?
What?
You guessed.
You want to put me up for ridicule here?
I'm going to put you up to public ridicule.
It's all right. I've already been through that exercise. Yeah.
Huh?
I said he put me through that exercise.
See, I'm going to bring that drape in.
Okay.
Did you find it?
Were you in the
Matthew, Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, verse 9, I think.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven.
Okay, stop there. It doesn't say honor. It's the word in, E-N. It's translated almost every time in the Bible by in.
Say that again, though?
The word in, if the word for on there is E-N. It's used thousands of times in the Bible. And the great majority, like 99% of the time, it's translated in. Mm-hmm. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, not on earth. You're the earthen vessel for which the kingdom of God comes. But all heresy comes, in one way or another, from believing that the kingdom of God comes on earth. The kingdom of God is always in earth, in the earthen vessel. Amen? That's one of many. I've studied for a jillion years. The King James is by far the most accurate. The others try to make it understandable to the human mind. It's not intended to be. It's to cause the human mind to repent. There's nothing you can learn from me. The only thing I can do is be a spark to what you already know within you. A witness. I can't teach you anything. Amen? Mary believes that sometimes.
And I got myself in all that trouble just because I didn't like Val.
Well, I'm not too fond of thee either.
These.
There was a double entendre.
Yeah,
right,
I got you.
You got. All right. Take a big gun. Anybody have any?